This podcast is one of the many good ones on the Self Defense Radio Network. Hi, shooters. I'm Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. Episode 426, to be exact, and I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Nothing fancy on this episode. This is just kind of a middle of the week. I don't normally do this, but I got a lot of information to put out. When I went to Ohio last week to teach a class with Ben Branham and Paul Carlson of Safety Solutions Academy, we really got a lot of podcasting done, and there's a lot of really, really good information I want to share with you. So this episode is about some feedback we got on the class that we conducted up there. Coming up this Sunday is going to be a regular episode about visualization when you're training and when you're shooting, how to visualize things to make your shooting and your practice and your training more effective. And then we also talk about gun manufacturing. That's the three of us, Paul, Ben, and myself. And that's going to come up this next episode, which will be episode 427, which will come out on Sunday. But right now, this is a special middle of the week rarity that I don't put out too often, but I really want you to hear this. So here's Paul Carlson of Safety Solutions Academy, Ben Branham of the Modern Self-Protection Podcast, and yours truly talking about some feedback and training and about the class that we did, Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced, plus P, plus Paul, in the Cleveland, Ohio area last weekend. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
I don't know who's leading this. Who's in charge here?
Ben, you can lead it.
Oh, it was my idea, so I'm in charge.
Yeah, it was your idea.
Okay. Ben Branham, Modern Self-Protection here. Got Paul Carlson, Safety Solutions Academy, and Bob Main, Handgun World Podcast. And we just taught a class together. I say took one because we took each other's class and we taught a class and we had a lot of fun. So we just want to talk about that and how great this stuff can be, and not how great we are, how great training is in general, and how great you can get different instructors together, learn different things, and how great it can be for the students to get out there. And we had some amazing students this weekend.
Really diverse group. We had a couple of families that came out to train together, which was awesome. We had
the brothers.
Father and two sons.
And two brothers.
Two brothers from another family that was great to see.
Travel together.
See people coming together out to train. That was awesome. And especially when you're a family, spending time together on the range, that's a family that shoots together, stays together.
Can't beat that.
Love it.
Everybody else that had a great time, and they all did a roundabout at the end of the day, telling us what they really liked about the class and what they didn't.
Right.
And it was, when you get really professional instructors together, one of them they absolutely adored was that we were able to, on the fly, change the curriculum to meet some of the actual students' needs as we went.
Right.
And then you had a really good training evolution for the one student, and then I had a really good one.
Yeah.
And it just turned out really, really well to do that. So I think we're trying to tell you that you need to go get training.
So let's talk about that from a philosophy standpoint. You guys have a course, it's called Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced, and what you've told me and you told the students is that course is not the same every time you teach it. Why? I mean, wouldn't it be easier to
because
type
students
out?
Students are different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'd
be way easier to type out a list of what you're going to do and then just do that every time.
It would
time
be
the same
easy,
way.
But not
or memorize your
There isn't
modules.
One single class where the students developed at the same rate.
Yes.
And even within the class, you
and
may
required
have
the same things.
Exactly.
We've had a group of younger students. We have a group of older students. We've had a group of students that I was like, man, I better go to the gym. I can't even watch these guys how fast they're running up and down the range, some of these younger guys. And then other classes where we've had a little bit older and slower students where I got no problem running up and down the range with them.
Right.
So it was kind of, that's the kind of stuff that you can change on the fly, and
and you
what
have
we
to
do.
Change it on the fly.
And speaking of changing on the fly, we had a student this past weekend with a physical disability.
Right.
And we were able
to
change our curriculum to accommodate him.
Right.
And he was, I think
he was very happy about
that. He's the happiest person ever.
Well, I think it was beneficial for everybody else as well.
Oh, it was.
Exactly.
For most people, I don't think that segment fits in the first couple of days of training after the concealed carry permit. But because of the challenges that, I'll just call him R, keep his name out of it, because of the challenges that R had, this made it very important. And what I did specifically was teach drawing of the pistol from a seated position. And the reason is he spends time sitting down, lots of time sitting down. And that means that he's much more likely to have to deploy his pistol from that position. And then, Ben, you did some work in another area with that same student that, you know, what was great about it was you kind of did this pull off to the side thing. And most of the students just migrated over there during a section of lunch.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can come over here and watch if you want. I'm going to work with him. And we just did cane fighting.
I mean, right.
Who was going to, I'm going to toot my own horn here a little bit, but who in a handgun defensive course is going to go off to the side and teach a module about cane fighting?
Right.
It's just not something we even planned or talked about. I just off the cuff, I told him, oh, yeah, you know, also, I see how you're doing that. And he's kind of taking a ready position and stuff. And I could see that he was thinking of using the cane as a weapon to defend himself, which is actually a really good weapon.
Sure.
I wish I could carry one. I told him I'm jealous because he gets to carry one on flights and stuff, and they'll take it from me. But, you know, let me show you a little bit of extra tricks. It'll help you be more, just defend yourself better.
Sure.
And then he was super excited, and everybody else is like, huh? That sounds like a great idea.
Right.
And so it was a lot of fun. And having three instructors, we could do that because we sat there and we said, okay, we're going to do this for this guy. You know, what are we going to do on the side? You know, how are we going to do it? How are we going to set it up? And so having three instructors, it was great because you're like, yeah, okay, I'll do something from the seated.
Right.
I'll take that one. I was like, well, I'll take the cane thing. And,
right. You
know, we can just go on that way. So, you know, we're thinking about doing this class again. And
yeah, who knows what it is we're going to have?
Yeah.
You know, as far as different ability levels that show up at class, different lifestyles or contexts, you know. We didn't have anyone that was active duty law enforcement, but, you know, that changes things, right? A law enforcement officer has different things that they need to be thinking about when it comes to dealing with armed defense, and we've got to work those things into classes.
We have lawyers and stuff, and they always get a different perspective, and we had a retired law enforcement who worked in a federal pen, Max.
Right.
A federal max pen. How many people have that, you know, body of knowledge dealing with those people?
Right.
Yeah,
so
he was a lot. An attorney of fun. Take the class.
An attorney
to talk to.
Yep.
And
engineer.
The engineer who, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. He doesn't. As long as you keep going down that list, he's good. If you want to bounce, he's like, what happened? So that was fun. But yeah, it's always about the different students. And I'm going to add this right now because if you're out there and you're listening and you don't know if you should take a course or not, you should. It's pretty much that simple. I don't care where you are in your development and your skills, where you think you are physically, emotionally, as long as you're not going to commit suicide on the range, you're in a good place emotionally to take the course. And if you are, that's a bad joke. If you are thinking about hurting yourself, please get help. Give me a call. Shoot me an email. I'll get you help or I'll help you myself. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Sorry. Bad joke and off to the tangent. But yeah, we think about all these things. And I had a lady that I taught a personal lesson to. And she was afraid her ex-husband was in prison for 12, 14 years. So she's got a whole new life.
Right.
And she finally divorced him after 6-7 years in prison. And he just said, if you divorce me, I'm going to come get you.
Right.
And then he reminded her of that fact that he was getting out and sent her a message, says, I'm going to come get you. I'm getting out. So emotionally, she's like, I don't know if I can. Yeah. That's like, no, come on. Well, you know, for us, we're like, no, you need it more than anybody else. And she's like, I'm an emotional wreck. I don't know what to do. Come on out. I'll teach you how to work the revolver. Yeah. You just bought, and
absolutely,
we'll talk about this. And so it's kind of.
Well, Bob, you posted up our class picture on Facebook and asked the students to jump on there and click on like and click on share and do all the social media stuff that helps us spread word of mouth of our business. And some of the students left some comments. And, you know, why don't you share a little bit about what it is that they had to say about class?
Yeah, I'll be glad to.
Thank you.
Going to leave off names, obviously.
Right, right.
But here are a couple of. Sure. Now when I want to get to Facebook, it makes it harder.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, here we go. Okay, well, one student writes, thanks, Bob, Ben, and Paul, for an awesome class. Paul, you're a master teacher. Ben, your been there, done that experience is eye-opening, and I agree with him. And he says, Bob, you have a wealth of practical insight. Great job. And so we appreciate that.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that feedback a lot. You know, that kind of sums it up right there, because those are the three different backgrounds we have.
Right.
You know, you have the teaching background. Ben's got the military combat background, and I've got the practical, more everyday background.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was good. Another person opined
and said, Ben, Bob, and Paul, thank you for having the discipline to keep learning and the foresight to see how desperately every gun owner needs more training and offering to teach those who are willing to learn. Great class. I look forward to continuing my gun handling training and look forward to working with you guys again in the future.
Awesome. Awesome.
So
that is fun. We're hearing those for the first time.
Yeah, that is fun. And there's one more that that says, thank you, Ben, Bob, and Paul, for a great weekend of teaching and sharing your knowledge about Beyond Concealed Carry and sending your training down to us. I'm especially grateful for you guys helping me as a handicapped individual. This will greatly help me out. Thanks again.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cool stuff, and that's just, you know, within, it's less than 24
less
hours.
Than 24
it's
12
hours since class is wrapped, or 18 hours maybe, and students are already leaving comments like that even while they're traveling home and getting back to where they need to go. Yeah. So,
well, this is the kind
cool
of experience
stuff
we've all had at firearms training classes, and if you go to a class, this is the kind of experience you'll be that happy with what you did, what you learned, and it's just fun, too.
Right.
I mean, we're very, very serious subject, defending yourself. But you get around all these other people that are thinking the same way. They're there to have a good time. They're there to learn something. And then you have dinner afterwards. You
right.
You see them all after class. Everybody's got their phone out right after class, and they're talking to each other. And you're like, what are they doing at first? Why are they on their phones? It's because they're swapping phone numbers back and forth and emails. They're putting them in their phone.
Yep.
So it's, go to a class.
Yeah, going to a class helps you to obviously learn. But it also, you know, helps you make connections in the community and find other people that are like-minded. And spend time with those like-minded people, learning serious topics and having some laughs. And especially when you find quality instructors, who knows where you're going to be able to apply the lessons that you learn. It may not even be a gunfighting lesson. It might end up being a lesson for you in your business, in your marriage, in your relationship with your kids.
Whatever, it could be.
It fits every place.
And a contact with somebody, because you always have everybody in every class from, I mean, this one we had college students, lawyers, real estate investors and sales and engineers. And so you get to meet everybody from every walk of life that kind of thinks about you. You have one thing in common.
Psychiatry. We had a psychiatrist.
Yeah, he was great. He was a lot of fun.
Hey, how much time do we have left?
However much time you want.
Okay, because I got a 2 or 3 minute observation.
Yeah, bring it.
This has been said by all three of us before on our shows, but I think it bears repeating. During the weekend, we had a lot of students with equipment challenges.
Oh, absolutely, didn't we?
And I can tell you this, there is no better time to find out that you have an equipment challenge than coming to a training class like this. Mm-hmm. And for no other reason, if you're a listener to this and you're wondering, you know, does my gun and my magazines and my ammo and my holster and my belt, does it all really work well for me? Have I made the right decision in buying this stuff?
Right.
Come to one of our classes.
Right.
You'll find out.
Yep, absolutely.
Because we had some students
sometimes
that
the hard
really
way.
Had some eye-opening experiences about the equipment.
Let's go through some of those things. I think I'd love to talk about it. Was it a PPQ M2?
A PPQ M2.
The PPS.
PPS, sorry.
PPS, the small M2. Single stack.
PPS M2,
wall-by-wall. PPS M2. Very interesting. Student was having a difficult time making hits at 20 yards with that pistol. And you guys had a chance to jump on that gun at 20 yards and were having a hard time making
but,
hits.
I mean, Bob had one, and I had no problems making hits.
I have one, and it's dead on.
Yeah. And then,
So I jumped on the gun the next morning when we got onto paper instead of steel so we could see what it is, you know, where are these bullets actually hitting. And the thing shot a group, like, I was at 7 or 10 yards. It shot a group that was, like, stacked those bullets right on top of each other. But it was about 3/4 of an inch high. So, you know, we pulled back even farther. Yep, now we're moving to 2.5 inches high at 15 yards, at 20 yards. And obviously that's an issue either with the ammunition or, you know, it's quite possible that the wrong sights got installed, you know, the wrong front sight got installed on that gun. It's the wrong height. Obviously a taller sight is what's appropriate for that pistol.
And I think that's really...
Not a lot.
I was talking to him because I've sold a bunch of those pistols, is all the Walter PPQ, PPS, those pistols... All the Walter modern pistols come with 3 different front sight heights. Normally the medium's installed, but so you can run 147 grain or 115 grain and kind of tune the pistol to you, and they're super easy. It's like an Allen wrench to change them out.
Right.
But he said, no, there wasn't any other sights. This is all that came in there. So I wonder if at the gun shop somebody had gotten ingenious and wanted to switch out the sights, put the smaller one in, got busy doing something else, it stayed on the back counter or something.
Right.
I mean, we've all done crap like that, unfortunately.
And then back in the box it went with the wrong sight on it, mm-hmm. without the other sights there. Mm-hmm. And now he just can't figure out what the heck is going on.
Well, and barrel length matters, right? I mean, if you have the wrong sight for the barrel length that you have, or
it's
the slide length,
gun.
I should say, you know, it makes a big difference. So that was one equipment problem. We saw some challenges with holsters. We had one of the things that was driving me nuts was students that couldn't establish a relatively full grip with one hand in
Master
the holster.
Grip.
Couldn't get those fingers underneath the grip because the holster brought the gun too far down, or there was too much leather on the back of their holster. They couldn't get their thumb on the other side or fingers wrapped around whatever it might
be. And some of them, being a bigger guy, a couple of them had the bigger guy problems. Mm-hmm. What happens is you put the holster on, you start working with it. It works fine, but and you think it's good to go, and you start wearing it, and it's a little bit uncomfortable.
Right.
So you adjust it.
Right.
It's a little bit uncomfortable, so you adjust it. And then you end up adjusting the holster for complete comfort, and you don't go back to the training stuff. Because you did it. You proved that the holster was right.
Right.
And now, and then if you don't have actual training and you're bumping it out a little bit, I've had holsters that are so deep concealment that I've got to get in there with half a finger and bump it out of the holster a little bit so I can establish that master grip and then go. And that is a lot and lot of practice to get that right. And it's really way more advantageous to get a holster that's a little bit different. And maybe that's just not the holster for you. I mean, we had... And I'm going to throw names out. There was an Alien Gear holster that one of the guys had a really big problem with. It wasn't the holster. The holster's a fine holster. It was that he could not adjust it to his gun, to himself, to make the stupid thing work. Right. For him, you were like, dude, this one's done. Let's throw it away. And that was the same thing I was thinking. For you, there's 10 guys here. Sell it to one of these other guys or trade it to one of these other guys because they got a holster that doesn't work.
Right.
And so I didn't want to belittle that company, but anybody can have a holster like that.
Sure.
Make a holster that doesn't work for you that works for somebody else. And you don't really find that stuff until you get out on the range, and then you keep working on it, and then you find it, and then you go, and you have an instructor standing there and go, what are you doing? What is that? And you're like, oh, I don't know. I've just been doing this for the last 6 months, haven't paid attention. So, yeah, gear is
you don't know what you don't know.
Test.
You said that in one of our other conversations this weekend, Bob.
And speaking more about gear, at the end of the course, when we were trying each other's guns, Paul, I picked up your pistol,
mm-hmm.
and I started shooting it, and three shots in a row, the slide locked back on me. And I thought, it's a Glock. You have a Glock.
Yep.
And the slide was locking back, and I thought, I've been shooting Glocks nearly all my entire shooting career.
For a decade now.
Something's going on here, and I thought your pistol was malfunctioning. Come to find out, you have a different slide release than the standard Glock, and I was hitting it with my thumb and locking the slide back inadvertently because my grip, my thumb is very close to that. So what I've learned is that kind of slide release doesn't
work
for me.
Exactly.
And a lot of people can't, they don't know that stuff till they come to a class.
Right, absolutely.
And try it over and over and over again.
I run the Ghost Bullet Forward Slide Stop because the problem that I have with either an extended or a standard Glock slide stop is I hold it down. And so this moves the slide stop farther forward and gets it out of the way of my thumb so that I can have a standard grip and not have to worry about it. It works great for me.
And for some reason, it was doing exactly the opposite for me.
You bring up a great point about gear and stuff. It's not just the instructors that get to teach you about the gear. You're standing next to another guy that's holding a different gun with a different holster with a different belt that has a different life than you. And you go, dude, what kind of holster are you carrying? How's that work for you?
Right.
How do you like that PPS? I was thinking about one of those because this Glock is too small, or vice versa. The guy with the PPS is like, man, this is kind of big and that Glock is just a hair smaller. How do you like that Glock 43? Would it work for me?
Right.
And you get students that they have these huge conversations about gear, and it's not that, gear is super important. It is important, but running the gun is more important. You need the gear not to get in the way of that.
But gear is important when it malfunctions on you.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I say you need to get
gear that's going to work well for you.
Gear that doesn't get in the way of you running the
exactly.
gun.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you want to test everything, but time and money. Yeah. It's $100 for a holster. It's $80 for a belt. How many times do you want to go through different holsters and different belts until you get one that works
for
you?
Well, how much is your life worth? I'll go through as many as I need to.
Yeah, but it's hard. Some people just don't, they don't get to the class.
Right.
So they don't even realize that
there's
they need
problem.
To go through it.
Correct.
Or the other half of it, they don't realize there's something better. They get one holster because they read on the internet that this is the best one ever, and this is the guy that I love. He wears this holster, so that's all I'm going to wear. And they don't realize that there's something better that can help him run the gun better, that can have him be more comfortable, and that'll make him carry his gun more.
Right. This is a totally selfish question. How many times did you see a Smith & Wesson Shield owner stripping a magazine out of their gun because they couldn't get it to drop free?
All the time.
Happens all the time.
I was like, I just felt for them. We had three shields in class, and it was a constant thing that they were stripping those magazines. But now, every once in a while, they weren't stripping a magazine out, and I'd look down on the ground and see what magazine, and it was one that I loaned them.
Some dude has a solution for that problem.
Yeah, Plan B something or other.
Yeah, shieldplanb.com.
Shieldplanb.com.
But again, some of those students didn't even realize that that was an issue because they hadn't spent time reloading their gun in the way that we were asking them to reload their gun.
And under the stress environment that we were putting them in,
Because a lot of them, when we let it, and this happens at every class, I don't want to be mean to the students, and I want them to go faster so we can get more drills in, but it always happens that somebody will pull that magazine out, tuck it in somewhere, and then get a new magazine in there, and I'm like, you know, you're reverting back to bad habits. Let that stupid thing hit the ground. Get the extra training in every single time you can, just like pulling the pistol. Even when you're going to pull your pistol to do something administrative, like you're on the range, you're facing down range, and you're going to do a Bob Main and do a chamber check. Because Bob loves to do a chamber check. And we laugh about and we argue about each other all the time.
He likes to rip me about that.
Oh, and he riffs me about it. And we get back and forth. That's the one thing we always goof off. But even if you do that, there's an opportunity to practice a perfect pistol draw and then put it back. You know, most of the students will grab the gun haphazardly, just kind of throw it out there, do their chamber check, and then put it back. It's nothing unsafe. It's nothing wrong. There's nothing bad about it, but you lose that opportunity to practice one more time.
Or if they're making the gun ready, they've got a chance for a reload practice, and they skip that. And that's a common thing. So that's something a quality instructor can help you understand. I said this in class a bunch of times. If you want to be good at what you're doing, if you want to be fast, it's all about practicing with precision. And I don't just mean shooting a small group. I mean doing it correctly each and every time. It's not practice makes perfect. It's
perfect practice
makes perfect, and that's the deal. So, you know, I think that we had a great weekend this weekend. I enjoyed it. I know the students enjoyed it.
We had the best of weekend. I had more fun than I think the students did.
Good.
If I had any more fun, I'd have to pay them to come so I could have this much fun.
we'll
have that much fun.
We'll rework the percentages for next year.
Some might take you up on that. Be careful.
Yeah. Well, and the problem is we do this, and I love to do it. I would do it 24/7. Teach and train,
sure,
but I got to make a living and feed the family,
of course. So, so that's kind of, you know, part of the motivation is, of course, personal motivation. We'd love to have you come to our classes, but the reality of why we're recording this right now is to let people know, you know, what happened this weekend and to give them the encouragement
to get to a class.
If
it's your local instructor that's doing something at your local range, start there. You know, you don't have to find a high-level instructor or super-duper, you know, some of the big names in the industry to get to a class. Go to that local instructor, especially military law enforcement guys coming back. There's a lot of knowledge base out there you can start
Even if you have to sell off that gun that's in the safe that you haven't shot in over a year.
Right.
Sell the one that doesn't work.
You know, or even just the one that does work but you don't use anymore.
Yep.
Sell that and pay for a class and take the gun that you like to use most and go train with it.
Beware of the man with one gun.
It'll be.
Oh, yes.
He probably knows how to use it.
And
very
totally
well,
worth it.
Too.
So we have one more thing to go on this episode.
Yeah. What's that?
On the cool side of it. You're coming to San Antonio.
Whoa. Seriously?
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
Did you know that already?
I did know that.
Bring your sombrero.
Sarcastic guy.
Sombrero.
And your sunscreen.
And your sunscreen.
But no, we wanted to announce that, hey, me and Bob are going to be hosting Paul at Safety Solutions Academy. He's going to be teaching his critical defense pistol, 2-day course. We got to see a bunch of it there. It was awesome. Got to tell you, your stuff is cool. And then me and Bob are actually going to be taking the class as students.
Awesome.
So that way, if you come, you get to actually, Paul will train you, and then you get to shoot with Ben and Bob.
That's
I know
awesome.
That sounds like a weird thing, but for me, it sounds like weird that you want to come shoot with me. I'm like, dude, you want to come shoot with me? Sure, meet me on the range. Let's go shoot.
This is
your opportunity. We'll spend 2 days together, and we'll be training together. It'll be a lot of fun, and I can't wait.
November 4th and 5th.
November 4th and 5th.
San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio. And you want to
give
a quick overview of what you're going to teach?
Yeah. You know, we're going to go over solid fundamentals. We're going to start out hitting fundamentals, making sure that students have solid stance, grip, the ability to get the hits they need to get, using the sights, using intuitive shooting skills. And then we're going to start really working into decision making. We're going to start forcing the students to make the decision of how much work needs to be applied to the shooting problem that they're given so that they can really habituate, really make it a consistent response to make that decision of how much work needs to get done and then apply it each and every time. We're also going to be taking a look at decision making of when do I start shooting? When do I stop shooting? How much do I shoot? How fast should I be shooting? How much precision is required? The classes is...
Can you do it under stress?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that was a big drill you did at the end.
Yeah.
It was a stress. You did it on purpose, put everybody under stress.
Yep, absolutely. And we do it in a very safe manner so that, you know, we do this with hundreds of students a year and constantly making a decision about, you know, what is the best course of action coming up with this next drill? What is it the students need? And we talked about this in the beginning. The fact is that, you know, the class isn't going to be the same as it was the last time I taught it because it's going to be fine-tuned to the students that are there. Just like a doctor takes a look at every person that visits them and says, what does this patient need?
What do they need individually?
It's not take two aspirin and call me in the morning. It's let's give some specific response. So that's what Critical Defensive Handgun is all about. And if you folks want to find more information about that, simply head to safetysolutionsacademy.com/CDH. Again, safetysolutionsacademy.com/CDH. We'd love to have you there. It'd be fun to train with you. It'd be fun to learn with you. And Sunday, at lunchtime, we're gonna do cake and candles, or
oh yeah, that's right. Sunday's my birthday. Sunday of that weekend's my birthday.
So we'll have to.
Yes,
he's almost getting old.
You need to find 28 candles because that'll be my age.
28.
I thought it was 29. I missed by one.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe
mistake.
I did turn. Maybe I'm gonna turn 29. Okay, I forgot. I lost track there for a while. Yeah, November 4th and 5th. The 5th is my birthday. I'm going to be celebrating years.
Congratulations on that.
But it'll be a good birthday present to be out there learning from you, Paul.
Awesome. And I'm looking forward to it.
And if you're listening to this, by the way, on my show, the Handgun World Podcast, right, I'll put a link in the show notes. And there's also going to be a link in the menu on my webpage, handgunworld.com, that'll be straight to your registration link.
Wonderful.
Your registration page.
I try to make it pretty easy for people to remember, too. Yeah. So if you're not, you know, just go to safetysolutionsacademy.com/CDH, and it'll take you right there.
And it'll be the same thing on my, you'll see it on the top bar. You'll see it through the pages. You'll see notes here. There's notes on every course I'm hosting and working on. There's always notes in the show notes. So
very good.
It'll be click through. And I want to add something about your training, too, because some people hear, we're going to start at the, you know, go over the fundamentals. If you're an advanced shooter, it's always good to go back to the fundamentals to start with and work them. Yep. And then by the end of the day, the end of the first day, you'll be working on stuff that you didn't know and you didn't do. And then by the end of the second day, you will be challenged really bad, really bad. You'll have a good challenge. I mean, we only did a couple of your drills. You're out there.
Yeah.
And, yes, I am an advanced student, but I take more fundamentals classes than anything else. Yep. And you had me challenge the last drill we did.
Yeah.
It taught me a lot and it had me challenged. So you're right on. If you're a new student, you're all set. Paul's going to start with the fundamentals. He's going to get you making hits. He's going to get you doing the things that you need to do. Don't worry about it. If you're a new shooter, if you know how the gun works and you can shoot the gun, this class will be awesome for you.
Yeah.
Even if you haven't come out of the holster yet, he'll teach you how to do that. He'll teach you how to carry the gun. Don't worry about it. Come out and take the class. And you'll have a great time learning the fundamentals. You'll be a little slower on the advanced drills, but that's okay. You'll learn where you need to go. You learn those advanced drills that you can do on your own. It's just, it's incredible that we can have a class like this where we can have a professional shooter in the class and have a great time right next to the novice. And I think your course is really set where both of those people will have a great time, learn a lot, and get better.
What's really
at what
interesting
doing.
Is sometimes in class, the novices, number one, progress at a much faster pace than some of the people that have been around for a while. But also, sometimes they surpass those shooters and the skills that we're teaching in the course of 2 days because the novice has an open mind. Sometimes people come into class and they're a little bit resistant to new ideas and doing something differently, and that's a struggle for them, you know. People have all different kinds of challenges in life, and some of them are ego-related.
So. Yeah, no kidding.
No doubt about
no,
it.
No, really? Nope. Ego? I don't have that problem. Yeah, right.
No, I'm perfect, so I don't have an ego issue.
Me too.
My ego.
Well, guys, we've got a run to make to the airport.
Yeah. So, hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you're on modernselfprotection.com, thank you. I appreciate you guys. And you know my ending, that the gun and the knife are only tools. Your mind's the weapon. Train it well.
John Steinbeck, a little modification. I love it. Bob, where can people find you if they're listening to it on one of our shows?
Handgunworld.com, Handgun World Podcast on iTunes, and I'll see you there.
Awesome. Folks, Paul Carlson, Safety Solutions Academy. Again, you can find out more about the course at safetysolutionsacademy.com/CDH, or check out the Safety Solutions Academy podcast on iTunes. And I always end it, get on out there, get yourself some training. When you do, make sure it's simple. Keep yourself safe. And have a great day.
And I like to end it with words I got from you 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. So shoot straight, shoot safe. Talk to you next time. Okay, that's it. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Folks, I'd like to get some more iTunes reviews. I haven't received a whole lot lately. You know, during the 8 years I've done this podcast, I've gotten a lot of iTunes reviews. I'd love to hear what you think about my whole podcast in general, not just a couple of episodes. I've had a couple of comments from people say, oh, I've listened to two or three episodes. You know, some of you who have been listening a long time, if you haven't already thrown up an iTunes review, if that's how you get this podcast is through iTunes, I would love to hear it. And also, there's a new video that we've uploaded to the Shooters Club. So for all you members, we've put up a video on visualization on the Shooters Club. That is going to be made available very soon, within a couple of days. So check that out. You got any questions or comments? Voicemail 210-646-1727. I'd love to hear from you. 210-646-1727. My email address is handgunworld@gmail.com. You can find the Handgun World podcast on Facebook and Handgun World on Twitter. Hopefully you guys like it and you got something good out of this episode. I'll talk to you again in just a few days on Sunday. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll talk to you soon.